Hi everyone, Samian here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Luke1234, and here's what he briefly has to say. Hello Sandman, I'd like you to do something a little bit different for today's video. Could you please review the masterpiece film 1987's RoboCop? Whether it's a review or a comparison to the pathetic 2014 remake is your choice. Cheers! Well Luke1234, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. I've covered film reviews for years. Just the other day, I reviewed the documentary film, Tinder Swindler. I just haven't done one in a while. I'm guessing that a lot of you are terrified at this moment that Queen Latifah will be playing Officer Murphy in the next RoboCop remake. The way that Wokeywood is going in Commifornia recently, it probably wouldn't surprise any of us. The RoboCop franchise never should have been rebooted, but they had to go for those nostalgia dollars because they were creatively bankrupt. The first RoboCop movie when I saw it as a kid was an instant classic and masterpiece. Even the story in the sequel where RoboCop or Alex Murphy still has feelings for his wife but she rejects him and calls the cops to stop him from stalking her was well done. But in the remake he gets to go home to his wife and kid and still have his old life. The first one was tragic because he loses his family and it was a much deeper emotional impact because he can't remember who he was. Only bits and pieces. It plays on the idea of what makes up a human soul. Is it memories or is it something else? Paul Verhoeven, the director of the first film, brings up the same themes in Total Recall as well. Unlike the mess of the film that we saw in the reboots. Ironically, the reboot was also shot in Toronto. They also filmed the new woke Star Trek Discovery here too. It's cheaper than making it in America, and if they go cheap on the budget, you can sure bet that they probably go cheap on the scriptwriters as well. In the 1987 RoboCop, his strong, empowered female partner looks perfectly fine in the film. There were strong females in Total Recall as well. But in the 2014 RoboCop remake, Murphy's partner is male. Plus, Detroit is only 4.5 hours away from Toronto. What I would have done if I was making is filmed outdoor chase scenes in Detroit, and then use CGI to insert new buildings and fill in all the land with missing houses. Make Detroit look prosperous again. But Toronto is generic enough to fill in for most cities. Anyways, I'll get to my review in a moment. As well as how I'm guessing in the next remake, they'll have a black fat woman as RoboCop. But first, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, Chris Whalen. He's a U.S. business tax expert serving clients in North America and abroad. The first consultation is always free, just like men going their own way. He's also a fellow MGTOW and will keep your pills red, but brings your books back to black. Reach out to Chris Whalen, CPA, today for all your personal and business accounting needs, before taking care of your sexual needs. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to if you reboot your film franchise in Toronto, you'll fail pronto. Clown World Show. The best franchise to come out of Toronto is Police Academy, and that was a long, long time ago. As for the first RoboCop film, I'm sure that all of you probably know that it's a police officer named Alex Murphy that gets shot and killed by a gang of criminals in the streets of Detroit, and gets turned into a cyborg police officer, and all that's left of him is his face, his brain, and a few other body parts. He gets sent back onto the streets as a cyborg, but starts getting post-traumatic stress disorder when he runs into one of the gang members that killed him. He remembers bits and pieces of what happened, and then goes after them to put them away and get revenge. The film weighs heavily on the theme of technological resurrection, like Jesus Christ coming back from the dead to punish those that put him on the cross. The actor Peter Weller that played him should have won an Oscar for that role, because of the way he moved in that suit. Besides being the only actor skinny enough to fit in the suit, he trained for months to get the movements down just right. But in the RoboCop remake, the actor moves around like any old man in a suit of armor. It was really disappointing. The only thing they had promised was having Michael Keaton as Raymond Sellers, the CEO of Omnicorp. But nothing compares to Dick Jones, played by Ronnie Cox. He's currently 83 years old and was playing the man in his late 50s, early 60s in the original RoboCop. But he was only 47 years of age at the time. His look was so much older than him. The original RoboCop also dealt with the dangers of corporations taking over everything in our society, including the police and military. The 1980s were a time of consumerism and greed, and RoboCop poked fun of this as well, with its over-the-top commercials and the idea that corporations would build and run entire cities. Ironically, the Google City was to be built in Toronto that would track everything you do, including how many times you flush the toilet each day, but that was canceled. Even they realized it would probably be a nightmare. The 1980s were a brutal time for corporate mergers and acquisitions, more like corporate murders and executions. And this film shows us this danger of what happens when corporations run amok. The 2014 film didn't have any of that. The most interesting scenes were the Omnicorp robots being remotely operated in Turan, Iran, by soldiers on the ground. Yet later we see another scene where robots are operated from a control room instead. That's more likely instead of risking soldiers' lives in the future like that. The problem with the 2014 film is that they couldn't imagine the future in a creative way. The houses, cars, and technology were all things that you would actually believe, and look like they belong today. The original film had the Ford Taurus used as a police car, and compared to the boxy cars from the 1970s and 80s on the road back then, it looked absolutely futuristic, especially with its curves and flat matte gray paint. Officer Lewis in the first film helps RoboCop and brings him food and his gun and saves his life. She helps nurture him along with fighting alongside him. She tries to help him remember who he was, and she works in the police force where officers are dropping like flies. Yet she is just as courageous as a man. Those are the good old days when female characters are written as having both male and female virtues. Today they're written with only the male ones, and male characters are written with neither male nor female ones. In the 2014 RoboCop, he can't respond quickly enough in action. So they shut down his emotions and his brain, and they have an AI take over for him. Why would they even need RoboCop in the film if they have robots that can basically be put on the streets immediately and control crime? Plus, Detroit is shown as a prosperous film in the 2014 version, because it managed to attract tech companies to manufacture robots there. But prosperous places don't usually end up getting filmed with as much crime and need a cyborg cop. But the way Detroit was looking back in 1987 with burned out houses and rotting factories, that was plausible in that year's version. In the original RoboCop, he doesn't get the girl, but he gets his identity back. In the remake, he never loses his wife and kid. The only crisis he has is when he sees what's left of his body and panics like a little bitch. But I guess you should be glad that he's still a male named Alex Murphy. Because you know in the next one, they'll probably change RoboCop's sex and race to be more inclusive. Ironically, by those that are also calling for the cancellation of cops all across the country. I'd have no issues if RoboCop was a gay, black, trans midget if the story was well done and honored the first film, and built on top of its legacy. Believe it or not, there are reboots out there better than the originals. Just think of the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy or Scarface with Al Pacino, or even Stephen King's It or Peter Jackson's King Kong. Mind you, I didn't like how they shoehorned Rachel, the love interest for Bruce Wayne, in the first two Batman films, and then killed her just in time for Catwoman to show up in the part 3. In the 2000s, reboots seemed to be working, but they lost their way in the early 2020s. Ghostbusters and Star Wars, anyone? I'd throw the 2014 version of RoboCop into that bad group as well. Films are supposed to make us think about the greater meaning of life and existence, while simultaneously entertaining us. There is supposed to be something there for intellectuals and imbeciles. That's what American cinema was best at doing sometime before 2010. Films generally had a formula of a love story, special effects, big existential questions, tragedy, and many more themes crammed into just an hour and a half. They were the dominant art form in the Western culture that allowed us to see the future in a way that we couldn't imagine. But today's woke films allow us to see a world that we don't even want to imagine. Today's filmic worlds are woke, implausible realities that don't make any rational sense, just like the idealistic communists creating them. I'd even open up to a communist state if artificial intelligence ran it and it took human dictatorship out of the equation. That almost happened in the second season of the show Raised by Wolves. But traditional filmmakers have gone into making shows like The Expanse, which got canceled by Amazon, just as it was getting its stride. I would recommend that show as well as the original RoboCop. The other things I mentioned here I would avoid. It's just really sad because we were spoiled during the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Film technology and special effects were getting better and better by the day. The script writing was great and well thought out. Now what do we have to look forward to? RoboThought. She's a purple pubic-haired cyborg looking to avenge her death. They're able to transplant her vagina into a new robot body so she can still keep riding that cock carousel. It sounds like some crazy Saturday Night Live stuff. A show that's already creatively bankrupt. But who knows, it might work like MacGruber, which made money even though most people don't even remember MacGyver, the show that it's based on now. But RoboThought would be something to behold, as she would holster her guns inside of her boobs. Her flashback scenes would come back when she would be captured by bad guys and ride them with their robot vagina, and then she'd remember being in bed with them. I know it's a bad story, but you just have to laugh because you know they'll try to make something like that at some point. If you don't believe me, then just look at something like Batwoman. But seriously, a RoboThought film would be great, because Officer Alexa Murphy will have a great existential crisis if they take away her boobs and bodacious ass. She will have to prove to everyone her value is more than just a sex object. She will be programmed by a bunch of nerdy white males in an IT department to obey her every command, and maybe even get them sandwiches. That might be the scene where she remembers her husband doing the exact same thing and going berserk as a result. The first RoboCop tackled if a man's identity is his memories, or if it's more than that. The RoboThought will explore the idea if a woman's identity is more than her body or not. In the end, she won't even be able to drink box wine, and cats won't even sit on her robotic lap, because they will fear her. Sounds like a horror film for feminist women everywhere, but a comedy for men. That's pretty much what happened with Batwoman. We need to start making cheesy social justice parodies that might actually get made into real films one day. Maybe RoboThought could be just too damn fat for the police force, and she dies getting run over by an ice cream truck, and then they put her in her suit, and she's just as fat as when she was a real human. Remember that Peter Weller had to be alien skinny to fit into the original suit. Imagine how big a suit will have to be for a 250-pound empowered woman. At first they gave her a sexy skinny robot body, but she rejects it, because she's all about fat empowerment. She doesn't even need a gun to take down the bad patriarchal guys. All she has to do is sit on them and it's over. Preferably on their face with her purple pubed golden vajayjay that Omicron let her keep. To control her, all they have to do is shut down her pleasure centers down there and turn on period mode, and she's under control, because she keels over from all that Kegel pressure. It's something that Dick Jones might add to make sure that she won't turn against him. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Luke1234 for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that you definitely don't want to have your eyes smashed by watching a woke RoboCop film, where Queen Latifah can kill criminals with their RoboQueefs. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the women trying to destroy any and all nostalgia the men enjoy to escape the reality of our current woke culture away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.